Everyone tells you to trust the process, but no one tells you what to do when the process feels like death. This audiobook will help you stop doubting the delay and never mistake divine timing for divine neglect again. The Law of the Seed. Introduction. Buried, not broken. Before the bloom, there is the burying. Before the rising, there is the rooting. Before your prayer is answered out loud, it is answered in silence. The seed does not panic in the soil. It doesn't rush to be seen. It trusts the dark, knowing that this hidden space is not the end. It's the beginning. So why do we struggle when nothing seems to be happening? Why do we doubt the promise when all we see is dirt? Because we've been trained to fear waiting, to avoid uncertainty, and to mistake silence for failure. But nature tells a different story. Every oak tree was once a buried acorn. Every bloom began with a descent into darkness. Every transformation starts where no one is looking. This audiobook is a call to remember the law of the seed, a law written into the fabric of nature and your soul. A law that tells you, your breakthrough isn't missing, it's maturing. The quiet season you're in right now isn't punishment, it's preparation. What feels like a delay is often divine incubation. You are not broken, you are buried, and buried things grow. Together, we will explore the spiritual laws inherent in nature. We'll examine the purpose of waiting, the wisdom of surrender, the hidden power of dark seasons, and the timing of growth that never fails. You will learn to see your own journey differently, not as a series of missed chances, but as a sacred unfolding that cannot be rushed. By the time this journey ends, you will no longer fear the silence. You will understand it. You will no longer resist the waiting. You will trust it. And you will begin to sense something miraculous stirring beneath the surface, because it is. Chapter 1. The Hidden Law. There's a law older than any written scripture, older than any civilization. And it's etched into every leaf, every root, every sunrise. The law says, nothing that grows begins fully formed. All things begin hidden. We live in a world obsessed with visibility, followers, recognition, validation. We often mistake what is visible for what is valuable, but the law of the seed teaches the opposite. It says, the most sacred things start unseen. The invisible world precedes the visible. The unseen determines the seen. When a seed is planted, there's no celebration, no lights, no applause. It sinks into darkness. It disappears. And to the untrained eye, it looks like loss, like death, like nothing. But that seed knows the law. It follows the blueprint of growth. Descend first, then ascend. This is where so many give up. In the descent, in the part of the process where nothing seems to be happening, but everything is happening. The outer shell is softening. The old identity is cracking. The inner code is activating. What appears to be stillness is actually a well-crafted strategy. Nature never rushes, yet everything blooms in season. The law of the seed is not just a metaphor. It's a mirror. It reflects back to you the pattern of how manifestation unfolds in your own life. That dream you have, that healing, that calling, if it's buried right now, it's not lost. It's simply in stage one, the hidden phase. The introduction reminded you that buried things grow. Chapter 1 shows you why. This hidden phase is sacred because it removes ego. It purifies desire. It tests whether you want the fruit or the roots. In this quiet place, when nothing outside of you is affirming the vision, you learn to trust something deeper. The inner yes, the soul's compass, the whisper of God. Neville Goddard often said, "Assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled." But he didn't mean to rush to the end. He meant to embody it even when it's invisible. The seed does not doubt its identity because it's underground. It carries the blueprint. It holds the vision, and so must you. What if your stillness right now isn't a setback, but alignment? What if your darkness isn't emptiness, but incubation? What if your delay is not a detour, but divine design? The seed must surrender to the process. It does not resist the soil. It does not demand the sun before it's ready. And here lies the lesson. If you want to grow, you must trust the hiddenness. Not just tolerate it, honor it. Growth without roots leads to collapse. Manifestation without preparation leads to overwhelm. The law of the seed protects you from this. It grows you underground before it reveals you above. So the next time you feel unseen, uncelebrated, unacknowledged, remember the seed. Its power lies not in being seen, but in knowing what it carries. Just because no one claps for your process doesn't mean it's not holy. The blueprint of nature is not hurried. It is not reactive. It is certain, and that same certainty is within you. Before you bloom, you must be buried. Before you rise, you must root. Chapter 2 will show you what kind of soil your soul needs to grow, and why surrender, not struggle, is the most fertile ground of all. But for now, breathe. You're not behind. You're becoming. The law is working, even in the dark. Chapter 2, The Soil of Surrender. Creating conditions for growth. Every seed needs soil, but not just any soil. It must be the right kind. Soft enough to receive, rich enough to nourish, still sufficient to shelter. And just as the earth cradles the seed, your inner environment cradles your becoming. Surrender is the soul's soil. In Chapter 1, we explored the sacredness of the hidden phase, the part of growth where you're unseen, where you feel buried. But now we must ask, what are you buried in? Just as a seed cannot germinate in cement, you cannot grow in resistance, fear, or control. You need to surrender. Now, surrender is often misunderstood. We've been taught that surrender is a sign of weakness, that it means giving up. That's what you do when you failed. But in the law of the seed, surrender is not weakness, it's wisdom. It is the fertile posture of alignment. It is not giving up, it's letting in. Surrender is the way the seed yields to the soil. It stops fighting the dark. It lets go of needing to be seen. It no longer tries to control the rate of its growth. It dissolves into the process, and in that surrender, it finds power. The human mind, especially in this age of instant gratification, struggles with this. We want to hustle. We want to push. We want to force things to happen on our terms, on our timeline. But here's the paradox. Manifestation is not forced into existence. It is allowed into form. Neville Goddard taught that creation is finished. That which you desire already exists in the invisible. So the role of the soul is not to make it happen, but to align with it, to allow it through a state of being. Surrender is how you till the ground. It is how you soften your frequency. It is how you match the vibration of what you're calling in. Think of surrender as the sacred loosening of clenched fists. It's where your prayer stops being a plea and becomes a posture. You stop asking from a place of lack and start living in trust. Not passively, but receptively. Not by doing nothing, but by releasing the need to control everything. It is in this space that grace enters. Many people sabotage their seed by digging it up too soon, by checking on it daily, by doubting the process and panicking when results don't appear fast enough. But digging up a seed only delays its growth. Likewise, interrupting your own process with anxiety, obsession, or resistance only pushes the breakthrough further away. Surrender is not ignoring your desire. It is trusting that a greater intelligence already knows the desire, that something larger than your ego is already orchestrating the path. Your job is not to make the roots grow, but to create an environment where growth becomes inevitable. So what does that environment look like? It looks like releasing timelines. It looks like blessing the silence. It looks like choosing presence over pressure. It looks like gratitude comes before results. Gratitude is one of the highest frequencies of spiritual surrender. When you're grateful before you see the fruit, you are acting as if the fruit is already yours. And in the laws of consciousness, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You don't wait to be thankful once it happens. You become grateful, and that vibration draws the unseen into form. Surrender is the soil where certainty takes root. Not the certainty of how, but the certainty of knowing. A deep, anchored knowing that what is meant for you cannot miss you. That no amount of delay can derail a soul that is aligned. In sacred texts, this is echoed again and again. Be still and know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Cast your cares. These are not weak words. They are spiritual technologies. Stillness is not stagnation. It's sovereignty. And let us not forget the teaching of Jesus himself, who said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." You don't need to know how. You only need to surrender to the fact that it's happening. Beneath the surface, beyond your control, inside the soil of trust. This doesn't mean you stop taking action, but now your action becomes inspired, not frantic. It becomes intuitive, not forced. You plant, you water, you wait, and you surrender the rest. The soil never tells the seed when to grow. It simply provides the space where growth becomes possible. So if you feel like nothing's moving, ask yourself this: am I still clinging, or am I surrendering? Am I trying to force the flower to bloom, or am I trusting the timing of the garden? Because the truth is this: the more you surrender, the deeper your roots go. And the deeper your roots, the higher your harvest. In Chapter 3, we will venture even deeper into the darkness itself. We'll explore why the space you fear the most, the uncertainty, the unknown, the silence, is not empty after all, but holy. And we'll uncover how your greatest expansion begins in the places you thought were dead ends. But for now, rest. Breathe. Loosen the grip. Because the moment you stop trying to grow is often the moment you finally do. The seed doesn't need to prove itself. and neither do you. Let the soil hold you. Let surrender feed you. The miracle is already in motion. Chapter 3, Darkness Has a Purpose. Why You're Not Supposed to See Yet. We've reached a part of the process that no one likes to discuss. The part where you can't see anything happening. The part where you begin to question whether anything is happening at all. This is the darkness. Not the darkness of evil, but of mystery, of sacred hiddenness. And according to the law of the seed, this darkness is not a mistake. It is necessary. In chapter 1, we explored the law that all growth begins hidden. In chapter 2, we learned that surrender creates the environment where the seed can unfold. Now, we face the part of the journey where even surrender feels quiet, where the process moves underground, out of sight, beyond reason. Here's what you must remember. Just because you can't see the miracle doesn't mean it's not working. It means it's working where it matters most, beneath the surface. The darkness is not the end. It's the womb. When you close your eyes, where are you? You're in the void, the unknown. But that's also where vision begins. Before anything is born in the outer world, it gestates in darkness. The seed is not afraid of the soil. The baby is not afraid of the womb. Why? Because both are designed to protect unseen growth. So why are we afraid of the dark? Why do we panic when we can't see the outcome? Because we've trained ourselves to find safety in sight. But manifestation doesn't happen in sight. It happens in belief. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The darkness tests your substance. Spiritual blindfolds and divine trust. There are moments in your journey when God, or Source, or the universe puts a spiritual blindfold over your eyes, not to punish you, but to grow your trust. Because when you can't see the outcome, you're forced to rely on something deeper, your inner compass, your knowing, your alignment. You stop chasing signs and start becoming the signal. This is where ego dies and soul awakens. You stop asking, when will it happen? You start saying, even now it is happening. You stop needing external proof. You start becoming internal evidence. This is not spiritual delusion, it's spiritual maturity. Nature doesn't rush the dark. Look around you. In nature, every great thing begins in darkness. Seeds are buried underground. Stars are born in the blackness of space. Butterflies are formed in the sealed darkness of a cocoon. Even the universe itself began from a singularity, complete mystery, complete stillness, complete unseen potential. The darkness is not lifeless. It is loaded. It holds everything you've asked for in its becoming. So when your reality feels quiet, delayed, or undefined, know this: you are not abandoned. You are becoming. Silence is the language of creation. The seed does not scream as it splits. The earth does not roar as it shifts for roots. Growth is often silent, so silent we miss it. This is why stillness is not emptiness. It's encoded movement. Stillness carries the signal of life reorganizing itself on your behalf. When you are still, you are in sync with the field. When you embrace the silence, you allow the unseen to speak. And what it tells you is simple. You're not late. You're layered. You're not stuck. You're settling deeper. Chapter 2 reminded us that surrender creates space for the roots to grow. Now we realize the darkness is the midwife of those roots. It holds your dream like a cradle. It does not reveal progress yet because the blueprint is still activating. You wouldn't dig up a baby seedling just to see if it's growing. So why do that with your own process? Trusting what's working without your witness. This is perhaps the highest form of faith. To trust that the unseen is working without needing your constant supervision. You don't need to micromanage your miracle. You don't need to obsess over the how. You don't need to interpret the silence as rejection. The darkness isn't hiding your manifestation. It's holding it. Holding it until it's strong enough to emerge. Holding it until the environment is ready. Holding it until you are ready. Because not all delays are about the outcome. Some are about the receiver. What to do when you can't see? So what do you do in the dark? You don't force. You feel. You don't beg. You believe. You don't fear. You feed your roots. Feed your faith with silence, not noise. With presence, not panic. With trust, not timelines. This is not passive waiting. It's active trusting. As Neville Goddard said, your assumption, though false, if persisted in, will harden into fact. In other words, even when you can't see the evidence, your inner posture has the power to shift the outer form. Your job isn't to know when or how the light will return. Your job is to become someone who no longer needs to chase the light, because you've realized it grows in the dark. Before we rise. There will be times when you feel like nothing is changing, but seeds don't grow by showing progress daily. They grow by surrendering completely. So if life feels quiet, let it be. If your vision feels unseen, trust that it is deepening. If everything looks like nothing, know that nothing is the first layer of creation, because the breakthrough you long for isn't missing. It's maturing, where you can't see it. In Chapter 4, we'll explore what happens when your inner world starts to crack, when the shell begins to break open. It might feel like chaos, but it's the start of your sprouting. But for now, stay here. In the dark, in the depths, because this is where the soul learns to see without eyes, to know without evidence, and to grow without applause. This is the secret sanctuary of the seed, and you're right where you need to be. Chapter 4, Breaking Open, the Pain of Expansion. It doesn't feel like a miracle when it starts. It feels like pressure, tension, discomfort that grows in places you thought were secure. Just when you've surrendered to the darkness, just when you've accepted the delay, something begins to shift. Not outside you, but within. A quiet cracking, a rupture in your comfort, a pull toward expansion you didn't ask for, but somehow you know it's necessary. This is the breaking open, the moment the seed shell can no longer hold the life inside it. Growth feels like ruin at first. The seed does not break because it failed. It breaks because it fulfilled its purpose. What once protected you, your routines, your stories, your limitations, starts to feel too small. You're not being destroyed. You're being expanded. But expansion is not always graceful. It stretches you. It exposes old fears. It invites you into decisions that feel unfamiliar, even risky. Joseph Murphy once said, "Your subconscious will accept what you feel is true, and it will express it through your body, circumstances, and environment." When you begin to embody a greater truth, your old truth begins to resist. And that resistance can feel like things are falling apart. But hear this, the life inside you is not trying to destroy the shell. It's trying to live beyond it. The pressure is proof. So many people interpret pressure as a sign to stop. But in the law of the seed, pressure is a sign to push through. Think about birth. The baby doesn't choose to break the water. But once the body begins labor, the pressure cannot be reversed. It must be followed through to a new life. Likewise, your soul begins to labor when expansion is near. You feel tension in places that once felt safe. You outgrow conversations, roles, even dreams that once defined you. Your intuition starts whispering louder. The nudge to act becomes unbearable to ignore. You are not breaking down. You are breaking open. Florence Scovel Shin said, "Every great work, every big accomplishment has been brought into manifestation through holding to the vision. And often just before the big achievement comes apparent failure and discouragement. That moment, apparent failure, is often the final contraction before birth. Do not mistake the discomfort for disqualification. This is not a sign you've done something wrong. It's the divine friction required to move you forward. Sometimes the shell cracks through a bold choice. Sometimes through a forced ending. Sometimes through a breakdown. But always, it is growth in disguise. You're meant to outgrow yourself. What if this version of you, however good, however functional, is not your final form? What if life is asking you to outgrow your old identity, your old limitations, your old prayers? Neville Goddard often reminded us that you cannot rise to a higher level of consciousness unless you are willing to leave behind your present concept of self. That means something must crack. Something must give. The ceiling you thought was the sky must be broken open. You may feel vulnerable, but this is sacred vulnerability. It's the place where creation begins to rise from the dirt. How to stay grounded while cracking open. So, how do you navigate the pain of expansion? Stay in the body. When life feels unstable, breathe into the present moment. Let your nervous system know it's safe to grow. Bless the discomfort. It's not punishment, it's preparation. Don't rush to reassemble. Let the old identity fall away before trying to define the new one. Speak life. Use affirmations and imaginal acts to stay aligned with where you're going, not where you've been. Lean into trust. If the seed could speak, it might say, "I don't understand this breaking, but I trust what it leads to." Breaking is becoming. You've passed through hiddenness, You've waited in surrender. You've anchored in trust. Now, life is pushing you into form. But just as the sprout must tear through the earth, you must now tear through your past. This is not a loss. It's a liberation. And when you break open fully, you will not find emptiness. You will find light, because what grows from the seed was always inside it. Now, it's being set free. In chapter 5, we'll explore the next step, rooting before results, because even after the breaking, you're not rising just yet. You're being stabilized. You're being strengthened. But for now, let the shell fall. Let the discomfort move you. Let the cracks be holy. Because the seed never grows by staying whole. It grows by being willing to open. Chapter 5, Roots Before Results. Building the Unseen Foundation. You've been buried. You've surrendered. You've sat in the dark. Now comes something equally important: depth. Before anything breaks through the surface, it must first go down. Before the tree reaches for the sky, it sends its roots into the unseen. And this is where many give up. Not during the waiting, but just before the rising. Why? Although this stage appears to be a struggle, it's actually a structure. It feels like silence, but it's strengthening. Chapter 4 showed you that cracking open leads to a breakthrough. But here in Chapter 5, we stand at the threshold of that rupture, the tension, the inner stretching, the deepening that must happen so you can carry the weight of your future harvest. Because here's the truth. No one likes to say out loud, if you receive what you've prayed for without the roots to hold it, it can crush you. The root system of reality. Every tree that stands tall in the wind has roots that no one sees. And your manifestation, whether love, wealth, healing, or purpose, needs an inner root system too. Neville Goddard often spoke about the importance of persistence in assumption. Remain faithful to your idea, he said. Live in the end. But what most people miss is this. Living in the end is not surface-level pretending. It's a deep, energetic conviction. And that conviction is built below the surface, where no one claps, no one posts, and no one sees. That's your root work. It's not about how loud your affirmations are. It's about how deep your identity runs. Do you know you're worthy? Do you know it's already done? Because if you don't, the result won't last even if it shows up. What appears externally must align with what has been established internally. And that's why roots must come before results. Joseph Murphy taught that the subconscious mind is the soil in which all ideas are planted. He wrote, "Your subconscious mind takes the orders you give it based upon what your conscious mind believes and accepts as true." In other words, your results are growing from the roots of your beliefs. So ask yourself, what have I been planting? What silent agreements have I made with fear? What repetitive thoughts have I buried in my inner field? Because the universe is not responding to your surface-level desire. It's responding to your dominant vibration. That vibration is formed in the soil of repetition, emotion, and belief. You don't just attract what you want. You attract what you've prepared for. So while it may feel like nothing is happening, Your unseen beliefs are either rooting your future in certainty or sabotaging it in silence. Florence Scovel Shinn taught that the game of life is a game of boomerangs. Our thoughts, deeds, and words return to us sooner or later with astounding accuracy. That's the root law. Your life isn't random. It's rhythmic. It mirrors your inner programming with precision. So in this stage, don't panic if results aren't visible yet. Ask instead, what am I still rehearsing internally? Am I affirming the outcome I desire, or the fear that it won't come? Your internal atmosphere is the root system of your reality, and it must be established before the evidence appears. Why many manifestations collapse? This may sound harsh, but it's spiritually honest. Some people are asking for branches they haven't rooted for. They want love, but haven't rooted in self-worth. They want wealth, but haven't rooted in abundance consciousness. They want success, but haven't rooted in service, structure, or vision. And so, if the result arrives too soon, it either slips away or overwhelms them. This is not divine cruelty. It's divine protection. The law of the seed doesn't just want you to get the thing. It wants you to become the version of yourself who can sustain it. Roots are not glamorous, but they are glorious, because they allow you to rise without falling, rooting into your identity. Let's take this even deeper. Roots don't just stabilize, they identify. A tree is rooted in the land it draws life from. You too must root yourself in your true identity. Neville Goddard said, "Change your conception of yourself, and you will automatically change the world in which you live." So this stage is not about hustling harder. It's about returning to who you already are, before doubt, before programming, before fear taught you to shrink. Ask yourself, who am I when I stop chasing and start choosing? Who am I when I live as if it's already done? Who am I when I let the old identity fall away? Because manifestation isn't about pulling something in. It's about becoming something aligned. And that begins in the roots. Tending the roots. Practical ways to deepen. So, how do we build these roots? Daily repetition. Reaffirm your chosen identity with conviction. Not begging, being. Subconscious reprogramming. Use visualization, hypnosis, or journaling to overwrite limiting patterns. Stillness and meditation. Remember, Chapter 3, silence is where roots deepen. Selective input. What you consume becomes the fertilizer. Guard your ears, eyes, and attention. Gratitude. Before evidence. Every thank you is a root that says, I know it's already mine. Your roots know the way. Roots don't rush. They don't need applause. They don't beg the sky to notice them. They simply know. So must you. Your foundation is being laid. Your alignment is being set. Your soul is being prepared to carry something greater than before. Let others chase surface wins. Let others panic at delay. You are building something that cannot be shaken. In Chapter 6, we'll explore what happens when life feels delayed, not because you're unworthy, but because the timing is sacred. We'll decode the deeper wisdom behind divine delays and how they serve your expansion. But for now, root in identity, in trust, in knowing. Because when your roots run deep enough, nothing can stop you from rising. Chapter 6. The delay is divine. Timelines you don't see. There's a peculiar tension in manifestation work, one we don't often speak about honestly. In Chapter 5, we discussed rooting your identity before seeking results. Here, in Chapter 6, we enter the sacred space between root and bloom. Time. And the spiritual truth is this. Your timeline is rarely the universe's timeline, because the universe, God, Source, whatever name you use, doesn't operate on human clocks. It works in alignment, not urgency. Joseph Murphy wrote, "The answers to your prayer may not come immediately. The creative power within you will respond, but often in ways that the rational mind cannot predict." That's the paradox of manifestation. You set the intention, but you don't set the delivery date. You align yourself to receive, but you don't dictate when or how it will arrive. Why? Because timing is a sacred intelligence, and delay is one of its most merciful teachers. Why things haven't shown up yet? Let's be honest. There are moments when delay feels like punishment, like rejection. But in spiritual reality, delay is refinement. There are at least three reasons why your breakthrough might still be waiting. You're not fully aligned yet. Something within still contradicts what you say you want. You desire abundance, but subconsciously fear responsibility. You want love, but you still carry a sense of unworthiness. Divine delay protects you from premature outcomes. Others aren't ready yet. Your manifestation may require the involvement of others, the right client, the aligned partner, the open door. You're not the only one in the equation, and divine timing weaves it all with precision. The path is being perfected. Sometimes the delay is not about changing you, but about improving the path. The opportunity you're waiting for may be evolving. The idea may be sharpening. The universe is preparing the way better than you imagined. Florence Scovel Shinn said it like this: "Infinite Spirit, open the way for my immediate supply. Let all that is mine by divine right now reach me under grace in a perfect way." Notice that. Under grace. In a perfect way. Not just fast, not just now, but right. The danger of forcing divine timing. When we mistake delay for denial, we panic. And when we panic, we try to force what's not yet ready. This is where things unravel. We rush into relationships that are not aligned. We take opportunities from a place of desperation. We settle for less because we fear more isn't coming. But what's born out of fear rarely lasts. New Thought teachers remind us, you cannot create from a place of lack. You cannot manifest from contraction. The frequency of force repels the very thing you're trying to attract. Neville Goddard put it beautifully. There is a time interval between assumption and its fulfillment. Persistence in the assumption will harden into fact. That interval is divine. It's not something to eliminate. It's something to honor. You don't demand a baby be born at 5 months. You don't force a rose to bloom in winter. you don't curse the seed for taking root before sprouting. So why curse your process for needing time? What to do when it feels like nothing? When you've waited and waited and waited, how do you hold on? You become anchored. You stop looking at the clock. You stop measuring your progress by appearances. You shift from counting time to cultivating trust. Here's how. Return to the end. Revisit the version of yourself who already has it. Live as them. Think like them. Speak from that identity. Detach from desperation. Neediness clouds reception. Detachment doesn't mean you don't care. It means you trust it's coming in the right form. Feed the field. Keep blessing others. Keep giving love. Keep living generously. The vibration of "I already have" magnetizes more. Stay in the work. Don't pause your becoming just because the result hasn't appeared. Keep embodying. Keep preparing. Keep expanding. Because the fruit ripens in silence, and often when it shows up, it's sudden. But it was never instant. When the answer comes, it will be obvious. Ever had a moment when something just clicked? The door opened. The person showed up. The opportunity aligned. And it felt so obvious, like it had been waiting for you all along. That's divine timing. It's not a whisper. It's a resounding yes. A full body alignment. A divine echo of now. And when it happens, you'll understand why the delay mattered. You'll see how perfectly the waiting shaped you. You'll realize that what you wanted would have overwhelmed the version of you who asked for it months ago. So trust the intervals. Trust the silence. Trust the divine choreography. Preparing to receive with grace. The universe doesn't operate with emotional haste. It operates with energetic intelligence. So prepare, not with panic, but with poise. Not with force, but with faith. As you wait, keep the vision active. Keep your inner world clear. Continue to show up as the version of you who is ready. Because delay is never waste, it's wisdom. And when your appointed moment arrives, it won't be late. It will be exact. But for now, honor the pause, bless the delay, and know this: the universe is never late. It's just preparing you for something precise, powerful, and permanent. Your roots are ready. Your timing is sacred. Your moment is on its way. Chapter 7. When it sprouts, it's sudden, but it was never instant. One morning, it's just soil, still, silent, unchanged. Next, there's a sprout, green, alive, undeniable. To the eye, it seems like it happened overnight, but the seed knows the truth. It's been working, breaking, rooting, reaching, all along. Breakthroughs often feel sudden, but they are never instant. They are the visible echo of invisible persistence. But let's be clear, the sprout is not a reward. It's a revelation of what's constantly been growing inside you. The myth of sudden success. We live in a culture addicted to instant results, viral fame, overnight riches, immediate validation. But this is a myth, a surface illusion. Joseph Murphy taught that the subconscious mind is always working, even when we can't see its effects. Whatever you impress on your subconscious mind is expressed on the screen of space as conditions, experiences, and events. So when the sprout appears, when the relationship comes, the door opens, the healing lands, it's not luck. Its alignment is becoming visible. You've been impressing it, persisting in it, becoming it. And now, it emerges. Why sudden doesn't mean unprepared. Florence Scovel Shin once said, "What you do not see is that you are not ready to receive what you want. But the moment you are ready, truly ready, the way will open." This is why your breakthrough feels sudden. Because the moment your vibration aligns with the vision, reality responds quickly. Not because the universe changed, but because you did. The unseen work, the quiet healing, the daily alignment, the refusal to give up, is what created the inner infrastructure. The outer shift is simply the fruit of that hidden faith. You didn't make it happen overnight. You became someone who could hold it. Recognizing the sprout. Sometimes the sprouting doesn't look like fireworks. It looks like a phone call, a sudden opportunity, a conversation that feels divinely timed, a slight nudge of clarity that changes your direction. If you're too busy looking for dramatic signs, you might miss the humble beginnings of your harvest. Remember, the oak tree begins as a tiny sprout. Your miracle may not shout. It may whisper. But its presence is proof that the process has worked. So how do you recognize it? It aligns, not forces. You don't have to squeeze it into place. It fits. It brings peace, not pressure. Even if it stretches you, it carries an inner yes. It feels familiar, even if new. Why? Because your soul's been rehearsing this. When it sprouts, it won't feel foreign. It will feel like something you've known all along, because you have, in silence, in surrender, in identity. The world will say, "Overnight success." Let them. They weren't with you in the dark. They didn't see you show up in silence. They didn't watch you keep the faith when nothing was happening. So when the results bloom, don't rush to explain. Don't water down the mystery. Just smile and know you've been becoming for a long time. Neville Goddard taught that persistence in the unseen assumption must lead to expression in form. This is the fruit of that persistence. You're not lucky. You're aligned. You're not early. You're right on time. Staying steady in the bloom. Here's the final key. Just because it sprouted doesn't mean your work is done. A sprout still needs light, still needs water, still needs protection from distractions, doubt, and ego. Sometimes, the most dangerous season isn't the waiting, it's the receiving. Because the ego wants to take credit, the fear wants to sabotage, the old self wants to crawl back in. So stay rooted, stay in gratitude, stay in stewardship, stay in surrender. Let the bloom grow on its own terms, and let your faith deepen, not diminish. Looking back with reverence. You'll look back at the dark days and thank them You'll look at the moments of delay and smile. You'll remember the seed that broke in silence and realize nothing was ever wasted. Every moment prepared you. Every prayer shifted something. Every pause held purpose. But the final truth is this: you are not just the seed. You are also the sower, the gardener, the field, the entire ecosystem of creation. Chapter 8 will reveal how to continue the cycle, not just receiving, but becoming a source and living as the bloom, and teaching others what it means to trust the process. But for now, pause. Look at the sprout. Hold the miracle gently. And know, it wasn't sudden, it was sacred, and it was always coming. Chapter 8. The cycle continues. In Chapter 7, we explored the moment of breakthrough, the sprouting that seemed sudden, but was silently maturing all along. Now, we step beyond the bloom, beyond the answered prayer, and into the most sacred role of all: embodiment. Becoming the living field. The field doesn't only grow for itself, it gives oxygen to others. It feeds the hungry. It becomes shelter, medicine, and beauty. So must you. Your breakthrough is not only for you. It is your offering, your example, your sacred echo. Joseph Murphy taught that your subconscious is a field of divine intelligence. Whatever you impress upon it will grow, multiply, and return. But he didn't say it returns just to you. It returns through you. You have now become the fertile ground for others. Your story becomes the seed for someone else's hope. Your trust becomes the soil for another person's faith. This is how the law completes its loop. Passing on the pattern. Look back at what you've been through: the burying, the waiting, the surrender, the darkness, the rooting, the delay, the sprouting. This was never random. It was a divine blueprint, a pattern of becoming. And now, you carry that pattern inside you. You become a living manual for growth, not just to speak about it, but to be it. Florence Scovel Shin reminded us, man can only receive what he sees himself receiving. And now, you see, you've seen the pattern, walked it, lived it. And because of that, you can plant it in others, not through advice, but through presence. People will feel something in you now, a groundedness, a calmness. They may ask, why don't you rush anymore? Why do you seem so steady in uncertainty? Why are you at peace while others panic? And you'll smile, because you know, you've been in the soil, you've been the seed. You've trusted the dark, you've bloomed without forcing. You've become the example the world needs. You sow differently now. Once you understand the law of the seed, your entire approach to life changes. You no longer chase. You plant, you water, you wait, and you trust. When setbacks come, you don't panic. You check the soil. When things delay, you don't collapse. You deepen your roots. When others are shouting for results, you return to stillness, knowing the fruit never grows faster by shouting at the tree. Neville Goddard once said, "You rise in consciousness to the naturalness of being the thing desired." Now, you don't just visualize it. You live from it. Because you know how it grows, you've lived the pattern. And now, you carry it everywhere you go, continuing the cycle. Your life will now have seasons, a season to plant again, a season to wait, a season to break open, a season to root, a season to bloom. And each time, it will feel new, but you'll also recognize the sacred rhythm. You'll move with trust, not tension. You'll surrender faster. You'll wait deeper. You'll bless the dark. You'll begin to love the parts others fear. Because now you know, there's no such thing as being buried forever. There is only incubation. And buried things grow. A word to those still in the soil. Maybe as you read this, you've already bloomed. But maybe you're still in the dark, still waiting, still rooting, still surrendering. If so, let this final message be your light. You are not behind. You are not forgotten. You are not cursed. You are not being punished. You are being prepared. You are not stuck. You are becoming. The delay is not a denial. It is divine architecture. The silence is not emptiness. It is a sacred strategy. The waiting is not waste. It is weaving something stronger within you. Every seed must be buried to bloom, and bloom you will. The final realization. You are both seed and sower. You are both ground and gardener. You are both the one becoming and the one helping others become. You are the cycle. You are the sacred rhythm. You are the living evidence that faith, when planted deeply, will rise. So, plant again. Surrender again. Grow again. Because the law of the seed isn't just about this breakthrough. It's about becoming someone who lives from a place of timeless, grounded, unstoppable trust. The world needs your fruit. But first, it needed your roots. And now that you've found them, you will never fear the dark again.